Do you believe in miracles? It's actually not a question for you. That's a quote. You know what that's a quote from? It's from an Olympic hockey game, the ending of a hockey game where the U.S. was about to beat the Soviet Union, which led to a gold medal. You know what year that was from? Soviet Union, 1980, that's right. Do you know who the announcer was? Al Michaels, that's right. I didn't have to look that up. I knew that. Apparently some of you knew that too, right? Because I was watching that game, and I was very caught up and excited about it as it was happening. It was back in the Cold War era, and it was a point of national pride for our youthful USA amateurs to beat the big, bad, professional Russian hockey players, or so we were told. It was a miracle on ice, as it came to be known. And I've seen it replayed many times over the years. As far as sports highlights and quotes with which Pastor Jill is very familiar, it's a rather famous one. On National Public Radio this week, I heard something of a series, part of a series that was about cultural landmarks for different generations. It talked to 25 and 45 and 65-year-olds. I'm kind of a little bit more in the middle of those last two groups. And it was interesting to hear the difference in cultural reference points for people, all the way from the assassination of JFK to the coming down of the Berlin Wall in the Cold War to the attacks of September 11, 2001. Some things were shared and some things very different between the generations. I'm sure there are plenty of folks who know about that miracle on ice as one cultural touchstone, younger people not so much. But I bring that up as a cultural touchstone because it's a way at the same time to wonder about how miracles are spoken of in our culture and to wonder, too, about differences in generations of what we might think about miracles. Because on the one hand, you can step back and realize, wait a minute, miracle on ice? The USA beating the Soviet Union, is that what a miracle is? It's impressive, it's exciting, but is that a miracle? And that can make you start to notice how that word miracle is used in our culture these days. A miracle ear hearing aid, right? Have you heard of those? It's pretty impressive, but is that a miracle? Perhaps really impressive technology ear would be a better name, right? It's not quite as good marketing, right, as calling it a miracle ear. How about this? If you make a sandwich, you can add Miracle Whip. Do you know that? You can add that to your sandwich, and it's really delicious. But is this secret combination of ingredients really a miracle? You could call it Yummy Whip or 100% Fat Whip or something like that. But again, it's not as good a marketing as Miracle Whip. But is that what a miracle is? You can find all sorts of miracle products out there today, from cleansers to miracle drugs. But is that really the stuff of miracles? And so what I wonder as a cultural reference point, does our culture today use the word miracle for things that aren't? Because generally people don't really believe that there are miracles. More than any cultural divides among us as generations is a much bigger divide between our culture then, now, and the biblical culture back then. These stories of miracles. Miracles told and accepted and important. But now miracles seem simply relegated to the realm of human ingenuity. So that's what I want to look at. I want to look at the stories we heard from the Hebrew Scriptures in 1 Kings 17 and from the Gospel of Luke. They have some remarkable events described, kinds of things that we would typically call miracles. But if you look at the story from 1 Kings 17, the word miracle is not used. It's just interesting to note. So instead, let's just hear what happens in the story. The prophet Elijah is in foreign territory. There's a drought which leads to famine. Food is scarce. Elijah comes across a widow, a very vulnerable person. Asks for a drink. Okay. Asks for some bread. Sir, this is my last bread for myself and my boy. I'm about to make it and then wait to die. Elijah says, don't be afraid. God will provide, and so it was. Oil and flour are sustained enough for all of them. These are remarkable, powerful events. Except the son becomes deathly ill. The mother is distraught. Elijah is upset. He calls on God, and the son is healed. Remarkable, powerful events. And the woman says, now I know that the word of the Lord is in your mouth. Okay, then the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. We hear what we call a miracle story, but Luke doesn't use that word again. Here's a fun fact. The word miracle never occurs in any of the four Gospels. That word is never used. It's interesting to notice, isn't it? So let's just hear what the story says. And as it unfolds, we hear an echo of that story from 1 Kings 17. Jesus notices a funeral procession. A widow's only son has died. Jesus feels compassion. Do not weep. Jesus touches the bier carrying the body, which, by the way, made him ritually unclean in doing so. You weren't supposed to do that. Young man, rise. And he sits up and speaks. And then Luke says, Jesus gave him to his mother. 1 Kings 17, verse 23 says, Elijah gave him to his mother. It's not an accidental echo. Luke wants us to be sure to know this is being brought to mind as the story is told. So two stories, two remarkable stories echoing one another. Now, I pointed out that neither one uses the word miracle, which takes nothing away from the stories, but actually, I think, can provide a way into them for us. Because if we don't focus on the story first being about a miracle, then we can start to listen to the story being about the characters, about God, about Elijah, about a woman and her son. In fact, if it is just a story about a miracle, in some way that distances us from it. If it's just an extraordinary event to impress us about God, is that what we really need? But a story about life's circumstances of need and life and death, and to whom will you turn? That's a story I need to hear. Several years ago, I saw that story from 1 Kings dramatized by a group of students from Western Seminary. It was led by Professor Tom Bogard, who's a member here. It was very simply and effectively done. They acted it out right here. And part of what I remember so clearly is that the woman in the story had a pitcher of oil, and she would empty it out to make the bread. And then there was a figure of God, of an angel of God above, and as she put her pitcher back, God would pour back in. And then the woman would pour out her oil. And then God would pour back in. And that's how it went. It was such a powerful image that has stayed with me from that story. Because you see, here's the thing. If you want to keep playing out that story, the miracle stopped at some point, right? The oil and flour stopped when it was time. We could even note that if you play it through, this woman and her son died at some point, right? The bread and healing were remarkable, but they weren't forever. So doesn't there have to be more to the story? Such as, what does this story say about God? It tells us of an image of God who fills us, who fills our lives. It tells of the word of the Lord that speaks a path of faithfulness and trust and hospitality and blessing, of the Lord who is our true healer. Life requires more of this story than a miracle. This story speaks of God who is our hope, who is present, and who provides. When we listen to Luke 7, it's not just meant as a highlight reel in Jesus' life to put on a show to wow the crowds. It's a story about Jesus, about a widow, about a son. It's a story of life's circumstances, needs which we can understand. We can ask, what does this story say about God? And it tells us that in Jesus Christ, the God of Elijah, Yahweh, the Lord, is present and made known. It says that in ordinary people's lives, God reaches out to those who are on the margins. It speaks of the God of compassion, the God of life. Because here's the thing. The woman and her son died eventually, right? If this story is just about a particular moment, does it mean so much? Life requires more of this story. The story speaks of a God of compassion. It calls us to know the Lord of life. So did you notice the sermon title today? Right? I don't believe in miracles. Well, just like the sermon title a couple weeks ago, which was Truth Changes, I'm just being a bit obnoxious with it, which for those who know me is not a surprise, right? And hopefully a bit playful too. That sermon title, Truth Changes, was meant to sound like it was speaking about truth as relative, but in fact the sermon was about how the living truth of God changes us. This title sounds like I'm discounting miracles, but instead what I mean to say is this, that as children of God, miracles are not the object of our faith. God is. I don't believe in miracles. I believe in God. We believe in the God who is present through Jesus Christ, present in us through the Holy Spirit. Throughout the writing of the scriptures, there was actually a skepticism, a wariness about miracles in the wrong hands. Miracle workers would often try to manipulate for money and power and fame. The focus of the stories was always put on the characters, on the Lord of life who is faithful in people's lives. Of people seeking faith in the midst of need. The focus on the Lord God revealing God with us and among us. Sermon title is meant to draw us to where we should focus our faith, on God, on our Lord. But the truth is, too, that I know that inside me there is something that shies away from miracles, that is cautious. I find them perplexing not because they happened then, but because they don't always happen now. In all the suffering and need in life in which there is no miracle, it's difficult. It can make people feel like their faith is inadequate, that their suffering is ignored by God, that God is absent. When you don't have a miracle, then what are these stories for? But here's the thing. The writers of the Bible knew that. They knew the same thing. People of faith knew that. The church knew such miracle stories were not given as a sort of cure-all for everything. These stories were given to reveal God present in the midst of life. And so I want to have faith to come close to these stories as God comes close to us. Not to put my faith in miracles, but in God. The God of faithfulness and life, of compassion and grace. Because truth is, my friends, this life and world is miraculous. It is a gift from our God. And if we are looking for wondrous events in life, then for God's Spirit to work in us acts of compassion and justice, of faithfulness and love and hope, such are the wonders that this world truly needs. The miracles of faith and life that endure. That is what these stories speak of today, that the Lord is among us, faithful in all circumstances, that the compassion of Christ holds us, embracing and touching our lives with true life. These stories point us to what we truly believe in, the Lord of life who is with us, the Lord and giver of life for us and for all God's children. Thanks be to God. Amen.